Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and today we're continuing our study in the scripture. We're in the book called Psalms. We've got all the way to Psalm 90, and we started into it last time, but ran out of time, so we're going to back up to the beginning of Psalm 90 and jump in there. So let's do it. Psalm 90 and verse 1, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And that's fairly where we left off last time. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Ever before our face should be our mortality, the fact that we shall surely die. And if we keep that fact before our face and do not forget it, but are reminded of it continually, and that's an easy thing to do because people are dying around us all the time. People are being born and people are dying all the time. And we were born and we will die just like all of them. So continually before our face is our mortality. So we number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And the wisdom, how to live our life, how to live our days, so that when our time comes, the time comes for our mortality to end, be it 50 years, 70, or 80, or even more, it will come to an end. And where will we be positioned when it comes to an end? Will we have both feet firmly planted in the kingdom of God? And of course, I'm not talking about physically, because the kingdom of heaven is not a kingdom like the other kingdoms of the world, with imaginary or real borders plotted out with fences or lines and signs on the face of the earth. His kingdom is a kingdom of the heart and of the mind and of the spirit, the heart and the mind that desires to live a life that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. A heart and a mind that embraces his law because it loves the king and desires to live a life that is pleasing to him. And if we truly love our Heavenly Father, our Creator, and it truly in gratitude of what he did for us, we desire to live a life that's pleasing for him, would we not embrace his law? Not that we're saved by keeping it, but because we realize that he gave us his law for our own good. So we have a true desire to walk in his kingdom and him being our king, to live according to his law, and his law, which will not change. We can always count on him being the same, as the scripture says, yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change the rules on us. Not like the kingdoms of men, where they constantly change the rules. As a matter of fact, they're so into rule changing and changing their laws that they pay men, hundreds, thousands of men in America, hundreds in every state, thousands at the federal level, to change and write new laws every day. They give this privilege to a special class of people called politicians and whoever they appoint to do all that work for them. So one day you may be a law-abiding citizen according to the laws of whatever kingdom you're in. And the next day you may be a lawbreaker because by the stroke of the pen, by the signature of a governor on a document passed by the legislature, or the same thing, by the signature of the president of the Federation of the United States of America, by the federal government, after some legislation has passed both houses, and he signs it and it becomes law. And suddenly, you are a lawbreaker. You are a criminal. And that's what they've done to us all. We are all criminals according to the laws of man. But the laws of God, the law of God is not a heavy burden. They have lied to the people many years now. They have gone into the churches and taught them in the seminaries that the law is dead, that it was nailed to a cross, and that why would we want to do that anyway? It is a heavy burden. Instead of following the Heavenly Father's holy days and feast days and his Sabbaths and new moons, well, they have given us a whole slew of new holy days. They call them holidays, and a whole slew of feast days to replace them. And they said, these are the ones you should follow. And we say, oh yeah, that heavy burden, keeping the Creator's holy days and his feast days and his Sabbaths, that's a heavy burden. But we will gladly embrace the pagan holy days of the world, regardless of even the New Testament says to not allow the pollutions of idols to enter into your congregations. Now, forget that. We're not under the law. And somehow, you know, that because if we don't have the pollutions of idols, what holy days are we going to follow? Oh no, we'll have to follow the law. We'll have to follow his holy days and his feast days. Oh, that's a heavy burden. Can't do that. See how brainwashed people are? See how brainwashed we have been? I was there. I grew up not knowing anything. As a teenager, I had an encounter with the Creator, and he adopted me. And then I started attending corporate churches, and I got brainwashed into thinking, believing all these things, that God's law was a heavy burden, but we must obey every ordinance of man. But then I read the scripture for myself, and I studied it for myself intensely, and I found quite the opposite. I found that where the ordinance of man goes against the law of God, I am not to obey it, even if it costs me my life. Just ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we will not bow down and worship because that's against God's law. And you could throw us in the fire furnace and God may save us and he may not. Nevertheless, we will not bow down. Civil disobedience. They were being required to break God's law in order to follow the civil law. And then we see it demonstrated by Peter when he was told not to preach. I guess it was Peter and James or whoever it was with Peter. And they were preaching on that corner. And the authorities came out with the police and they said, you can't preach on this corner. And so they left. And then they came back the next day because God told them to. And they came out and said, didn't we tell you that you can't preach on this corner? And Peter said, who are we supposed to obey, God or man? And there we have our answer. His law is before every other law, and every other law that doesn't comply with his law is no law at all. Now, I can draw an illustration. Let's say that their law says that, you know, their policy enforcers want me to go 60 miles an hour, and I'm traveling by automobile, sitting behind the wheel of the automobile. I can do that. See, because I don't have to break God's law to go 60 miles an hour. So in that case, I will obey their ordinance. And this is what Paul was talking about when he said to obey every ordinance of man, so we don't offend them, and so we don't suffer needlessly. So I'll go 60. And they say, well, click it or ticket, you know, because there are a bunch of tyrants out there. And you know, most people think the nanny state, the state as your daddy, is a good idea. And so they say, click it or ticket. And really, I believe there's a lot of money behind that from the insurance companies who believe they will save money from injury claims. But that's how, you know, the governments of men work. It's all driven by money. But okay, so that I don't offend them, I will put the seatbelt over my shoulder, because I know if one of their policy enforcers looks at me and he sees me without a shoulder strap over my shoulder, indicating that I have a seatbelt on, that he will be offended by that. Oh, how dare I break the rules that he is out there to enforce. And he will pull me over, and they will extract as much money out of me as they can if I'm one of theirs. And if I'm not one of theirs, well, they may let me go, or they may harass me, they may steal my vehicle. Who knows what they will do? You can only wait until the time comes and see how tyrannical these people can be. But I will do that. I will put that on. I will put the seatbelt on, because I don't have to break God's law to do it. And so you're getting the idea of how I interpret it, how I'm going to live my life. God's law is supreme. If there's any other bullies out there, people writing ordinances, policy enforcers, you know, I will do what I can to not offend them, as long as I don't have to break the law of my Heavenly Father. Now, I know, in the, you know, the patriot and exerting your rights and all that stuff, I don't have to wear a ticket. I mean, I don't have to wear a click-it seatbelt, so I'm not gonna, and I'm gonna go as fast as I want. Well, I don't believe that that's what our Heavenly Father has called us, to just be rebellious to even unlawful authority. But he calls us to be obedient to him. And he says to be at peace with all men whenever it is possible with you. Now, by illustration, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, it was not possible for them to be at peace with Nebuchadnezzar when he said, you know, fall down on your face when you hear the music and worship the image that I have created. And they said, we can't. We would have to break the law of God. And that we kind of like living in God's kingdom. I mean, you may not see it, Nebi baby, you know, Nebuchadnezzar. You may not see the kingdom of God. Maybe all you see is Babylon, but there is another kingdom here, and there is another king. And we can't break his law to keep your law. And so, you know, he tried to explain it to him again while he called on his enforcers out there to heat the furnace up 7 times hotter, hoping they would change their mind. But they never changed their mind. And they got that furnace so hot that the guys that threw them in died from the heat. And then, of course, Nebuchadnezzar, you know how the story goes, that they were in that furnace walking around, and Nebuchadnezzar's squinting his eyes, looking in there real, real hard. He's going, hey, didn't we throw 3 guys in there? But I see 4. And he says, and the 4th one looks like the Son of God. How did Nebuchadnezzar know that? How did he know that he looked like the Son of God? Well, sometimes things can be revealed even to the godless. Because even those demons that possess that man over there in the land of swine herders, they recognize that who the Son of God was. Have you come to torment us before our time? They pleaded with him. So talking about wisdom, So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And the wisdom is to flee fornication. The wisdom is to flee idolatry. And the wisdom is to resist tyranny and any order or any government that would cause you to break the law of God. Because, you know, we can take a little bit of tyranny, because it is tyrannical for someone to come out here in America, the supposed land. So many people have capitulated that the policy enforcers of the tyranny have become emboldened to persecute and apply their craft to those that haven't volunteered, because so many people have ignorantly volunteered. They become bold enough to enforce their policy or try to enforce their policy, even on those who stand up for their God-given rights that are supposedly protected by the document, the Constitution, for the United States of America. So that's the condition we're in today. So yes, put on your seatbelt. You don't have to break God's law for that. And, you know, try to stay around the speed limit. I usually exceed it a little bit. The policy enforcers don't mind that until you get to 5 or 10 miles over. And depending how tight the economic times are, their tolerance comes down. If economic times, if financial times are good, you know, the economy is doing real good, well, they don't touch you till 10 above the speed limit. But as times get worse, like they are now, and they need more revenue, they might enforce 5 miles over the speed limit. So, you know, I would advise keeping it right around the speed limit if you're out there traveling, and especially if you're traveling without privilege. Because, and I have to tell you why I don't have privilege to travel unmolested by their CIST policy enforcers. Perchance they should stop me, because they require me to break God's law to get the privilege. And that's my stand. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I cannot participate in their socialist security scheme. And if you want more information on that, you go to my website, crosstheborder.org. I'm not going to get into that too deep today, but for anyone who's really interested or just curious as to why I can't become a part of their card-carrying privilege, because you know what they say? They say, driving is a privilege. Well, I don't drive, but most people have accepted the privilege just for traveling. And when you have a right to travel, and driving is a commercial enterprise, of course. If you understand, you studied the law at all, you know that you're not a driver unless you're engaged in commerce and carrying cargo or passengers for hire, which I do neither. You know, I travel by automobile. I sit behind the wheel of my automobile, but I don't drive it because I don't have passengers. Passengers are paying customers, you know, like a cab or a bus or a train. You have passengers. You have passenger trains. You have passenger cars, passenger buses. But, you know, and they say passenger car, but I don't have a passenger car. I have an automobile. And automobile is two words, auto, which means autonomous. It means that I can travel autonomously. I can be autonomously mobile using this automobile or this car or whatever you want to call it. But they get you all trapped up in their legal terms, and because they have one language where words mean one thing in the courtroom, and legally they mean one thing. But out here in the common vernacular, they take on different meanings. And so they polluted the language, and they trap people by that pollution of the language. And they don't teach law in the schools like they did 150 years ago and before that, where everyone knew the law and understood the terms that they were dealing with. But they've gone out to dumb people down and confuse them about things where words have different meanings in one venue than they have in another. And most people, not understanding that, get trapped by their own words in their courtrooms. And it doesn't mean that they can't trample on you anyway, even if you use the right terms, because they're so used to running over the people that even if you have knowledge, you still can get trampled by the iron out there, the iron fist of Roman-style government. We continue on here in Psalms. So there's just a little wisdom how to work in the world and how to conduct yourself. And you add that to how to continue without breaking God's law, even though you are compelled to by the society around you. And if you are in those things, well, it's not hopeless, because our Heavenly Father graciously allows us to repent of those things. And when we repent of those things, we stand on our conviction, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even to the death, we do not violate the law of our God. Because if we think we're going to save ourselves, or we think that we're going to save our family, we're fooling ourselves. We're putting the fear of man before the fear of God. Well, we'll continue here in the Psalms when we get back from these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes.